We are living in a time of sharp divides in our country, divides along political, racial, and social lines. Those divides have even extended into the realm of science. For example, those who deny climate change is a result of human behavior, or people who continue to doubt the safety of vaccines. They continue to hold these beliefs despite overwhelming scientific evidence disproving their views. The degree to which people dismiss evidence-based science is unprecedented in modern times, yet there are points in human history similar to today. Mario Livio is an astrophysicist and the author of several books. His latest is titled Galileo and the Science Deniers. Mario Livio, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for those who don't remember their high school or college physics or history, remind us of Galileo's most significant contributions to science.
Yes, Galileo is considered by many to be, you know, almost like the father of modern science. He's best known for his discoveries in astronomy. He discovered four satellites of Jupiter. He discovered that the surface of the moon is rugged and covered with mountains and craters. He discovered that Venus has phases, which was great support for the Copernican view that the Earth and the other planets revolve around the Sun and not everything revolving around the Earth. And in other areas, he also did experiments in mechanics. He showed that objects that are heavy and light, they fall at the same rate when they free fall. He is the person who somehow stated that mathematics is the language of the universe, and many other things, really.
Now, when and why did you decide it was time to have a new biography about Galileo?
So I've always been fascinated by Galileo. You see, Galileo was not only a great scientist, he was a fascinating individual, a polymath, and he was a real fighter for intellectual freedom, which is so important. So, I thought that this is a person, for a long time, I thought that this is a person I would like to write about. But when started all this science denial, you know, especially, you know, in relation to climate, more recently we have with COVID-19, but I wrote the book before the COVID-19 mm-hmm. pandemic. But climate change, things of that nature, you know, people who refuse to vaccinate their children, people who insist on teaching creationist ideas in science classes together with Darwin's theory of evolution. I thought, well, you know, what better person to write about than Galileo?
Now, Galileo didn't invent the telescope, but he did modify it significantly, enough so that he could observe heavenly bodies, including the moon. And prior to Galileo, how did people explain the phenomenon of the moon appearing and disappearing each month?
Well, moon appearing and disappearing, they knew that it had to do with illumination from the sun. They just had this model where everything revolved around the Earth. So the part that the moon was illuminated by the sun was there, but the fact that the surface of the moon is Earth-like, with rugged and with blemishes and things, was very revolutionary, because there was this Aristotelian ideas that, you know, things here on Earth, terrestrial, you know, could be corrupted, they had blemishes, they could die, but things in the heavens, the sun, the moon, all these, they were supposed to be pristine and, you know, just perfect and no blemishes and nothing.
Yeah. Now, Galileo produced detailed drawings and etchings of his observations of the moon's surface, and they're quite beautiful. He based his drawings on what he could see through his telescope, but lay people didn't have access to telescopes. They couldn't see what he was seeing. So how were Galileo's observations and explanations about the moon received by the public?
Yeah, so Galileo was also a master in outreach. I mean, in fact, probably the very first master in outreach that we know of. He started doing something very interesting. He, in the case of the moon, he wrote a small book, which became an instant bestseller. Well, there were only 550 copies printed, but they all were sold like hotcakes. But in later times, he did much more for people to know his discoveries. He started writing in Italian instead of in Latin, because Latin, you know, was spoken only by relatively few people. He also embarked on a huge campaign where he had the Tuscan court finance the manufacturing of many telescopes, which he sent actually all across Europe to many influential people for them to actually do see with their own eyes what he was seeing.
Now, Galileo was a firm believer that science should be accessible to everyday people and that it should be an important part of human culture alongside art and literature. How is this notion different from the way science had been previously viewed?
It was different not only in the way science was previously viewed, but I would say even from some people would say some that even today there is a somewhat of a difference here. Science, you see, in particular, things like astronomy. Astronomy was thought to be good for navigation and for perhaps doing astrological charts. That was the whole purpose of it. Nobody saw astronomy as something that you try to explain the universe, you know, in which we live. So this was a very, very big difference. Today we see also what has been called, you know, the two cultures, somewhat of a schism between the humanities and the sciences. We pointed out first by this author and chemist C.P. Snow in the 1950s.
Was he successful in making his own discoveries and theories accessible to that broader audience?
Yes, he was very successful in making people excited about his discoveries. But of course, at the same time, the fact that he became very famous, he at one point was probably the best known scientist in Europe, also started attracting the church's attention and eventually, you know, brought about his downfall.
Yeah. Now, after the moon, as you mentioned, he began observing planets and stars. What conclusions did Galileo draw about the stars and planets based on what he observed? And how did these conclusions challenge some earlier notions about the Earth, the Sun, and planets?
Yeah, so in particular about the solar system, you know, the solar system, there was this old ancient Aristotelian Ptolemaic model of the solar system in which all the planets and the sun revolved around the Earth. This was the geocentric model, and this got the church's approval because it sort of agreed with the idea that, you know, humans are the center of creation and all that. Now, Galileo, from his observations, very quickly concluded that that was wrong, and in fact, all the planets revolved around the sun. So this was not only a change in the scientific view of the universe, if you like, because that was the whole universe in some sense at the time, but also a philosophical change, you know, that the Earth is not the center of the universe.
Now, Galileo also made significant discoveries about sunspots. What were his theories about sunspots, and why was this so revolutionary?
Correct. So sunspots are this area on the surface of the sun which are somewhat darker than others, and they actually have been known long before Galileo, but he made observations of them and saw how they were moving, and he concluded that sunspots are really on the sun's surface. At the same time, others that observed them thought, for example, that they were satellites maybe that move revolve around the sun. He concluded they are on the sun's surface. From that, he actually measured the rotation rate of the sun around its axis. You know, he concluded that it finishes a rotation in about a month or so. This was very important because people who were objecting to the Earth moving were saying, "Well, why doesn't it stop moving?" Well, here he had also the sun moving, and it was not stopping. So that was that. And in addition, he claimed that he could show from the paths, observed paths of sunspots on the surface of the sun, that the Earth is really revolving around the sun. The truth is that He didn't quite fully understand that. But today we can actually show that you can prove that.
Galileo, as you mentioned, was alive in a time when the Catholic Church was extremely powerful, even in matters of science and discovery. Describe how the Church influenced science at that time.
So the Church was not against science. I mean, at the Collegio Romano in Rome, you know, the Roman college, there were scientists. There were astronomers and mathematicians. So they did find, you know, many discoveries on their own, and in fact they even confirmed Galileo's own observations. The point was that there was this concept at the time of saving the appearances, which meant, well, you know, maybe you claim that you can explain better the movement of the planets if the Copernican system is correct. But that's only a mathematical tool. It doesn't mean that reality is like this. So in spite of the fact that they were scientists, they still relied on literal interpretations of scripture. And when there was an apparent conflict between the two, they preferred scripture.
Mm. So how would you describe Galileo's relationship with the Catholic Church? You know, did he temper his theories so as not to raise the ire of the Church?
Well, he could have perhaps done that. He could have done that, but he wasn't politically very astute, it turned out. He wrote a book where he ridiculed the geocentric system completely, and then he realized that he couldn't actually publish the book because he needed permission from the Church to publish the book. So he added the preface and conclusions, which seemed to say, well, actually, we don't know exactly, even though in the entire book, it was very clear what his views are. So, and he thought he could get away with that. Well, he didn't, unfortunately, and he was put on trial.
Yeah, he was put on trial by the Inquisition. And what was the result?
Well, the result was that he was found vehemently suspected of heresy. On his knees, he read an abjuration where he basically recanted much of his life's work. Then he was put on house arrest for the rest of his life, 8.5 years. You know, if you think we are now on house arrest at some level for a few months, he was for 8.5 years. His books were put on the index of prohibited books and actually stayed there till the middle of the 19th century.
Hmm. You use the examples of climate change and objections to vaccines as well as Darwinian evolution to show that even today there are those who doubt science. How are these modern-day views different or similar to those of the Church in the time of Galileo?
So the motivations today are different. You see, Galileo's is mostly described as if it's a clash between science and religion. It isn't, and he never saw it as such. It was a clash between science and literal interpretation of scripture. That's what he objected to. But basically, the source was religiosity. If you look at today's science denial, some part of it is based on religiosity. For example, those who suggest creationist idea and so on. But in most cases, like in the case of climate change, in other cases, it has to do with political conservatism, sometimes with economical reason, and sometimes with really purely political reason, like, you know, wanting to be reelected or things of that nature.
Now, how did you research the book, and what was one of the most surprising things that your research turned up?
So how did I research? So, well, first of all, you know, I knew quite a bit about Galileo to begin with, but then I did go to Florence where he was and worked. I spent some time at the Galileo Museum in Florence. I used their library. I used materials from a number of libraries in the U.S. That have all kinds of Galileo materials. What did I discover? So I also did an original piece on whether or not Galileo actually ever said, and yet it moves. But I think probably the most surprising thing to me was to what extent his fight for intellectual freedom is relevant for today.
Now, even today, people who doubt the science demonize the scientists. Dr. Fauci was given a security detail after receiving threats because of his message about the coronavirus. Are you surprised to the extent that people are condemning not just the science, but individual scientists?
I wish I could say that I am surprised. I think it is sad, but not that surprising, given the atmosphere in which we live. You know, in the case of COVID-19, which you talk about, the very early, not now, but early on, the dismissal of everything that scientists were saying, you know, statements such as, oh, we now have 15 cases and soon it's going to be down to zero, you know, which was completely contrary to what scientists were saying. Is really shocking. I mean, look, it is never a good idea to bet against science. When it is a matter of life and death to do that, is really unconscionable. And that's what we have here.
So what could our society, including the scientific community, do better to reach people who have doubts about the motives and veracity of science, especially in this moment of pandemic when people's lives do depend on the public believing what science tells us?
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, one of the things is to do the type of things that I tried to do with this book. I mean, you know, to try to present the picture and to try to present facts and things like that. Unfortunately, there are a number of studies which show that once you have adults that already have formed strong opinions, it is extremely difficult to change those opinions, even when presented with facts. So I think that really the only way on the long run to address such things is actually to start with the education of very young children, to instill in young children already this appreciation of science and the idea that science surrounds us in our everyday life in so many aspects, and that science is the only thing that really corrects itself. Science is not always right. Science is always provisional, and scientists are the first to recognize that. But it's all the time corrects itself. Sometimes the correction takes a short time, sometimes a long time, but it corrects itself.
Before we let you go, the Hubble telescope was launched 30 years ago, and you spent a significant part of your career working on the Hubble. Talk about the importance of the Hubble, not just in expanding our understanding of the universe, but on making astrophysics more accessible to the general population.
Yes. By the way, I no longer work on the Hubble only until 2015, but yes, I worked for 24 years with Hubble. Yes, look, the images speak for themselves. The images that came out of the Hubble Space Telescope, irrespective of the scientific discoveries, were so breathtaking that everybody was affected by that. And everybody started to see, these were not only, they looked like incredible works of art, but realizing that those things represent real things in our cosmos, I think really created a very strong emotional connection between, you know, the public and the discoveries.
Mario Livio is an astrophysicist and author. His latest book is Galileo and the Science Deniers. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.